Morning, everyone. It is Friday, May 20, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you wherever you are listening. And we are very cosy here in the Sky Sports Radio van. We're at St Michael's Golf Club here at Little Bay for the New South Wales Trainers Association Charity Golf Day. Pitch black out there at the moment. Still morning to you, pup. And it would have been nice for you just to drive past Long Bay just up there, see a few of your old mates.
Check in, morning, say good day. Morning, boys. Yeah. Well, this is Davey Warner Town, just around the corner from where Davey grew up and where the jail is, yes.
He's from Matraville, isn't he?
He's Matraville, yeah. I got to say, when driving past Long Bay this morning, I thought, you know what, I don't want to spend any time in there, but if I had to, I'd much prefer to be in there with lights on than lights off. It wasn't a nice feeling in my stomach driving past. But yeah, beautiful area. I take my bike, my Harley for a ride and come down here, La Perouse. Actually, along that, you know, you go along the water, Bondi, Coogee, all the way down to La. It's a beautiful ride. And the beaches here, again, always so quiet. So if you want to get on the water and have a swim and not as many people as the likes of Bronte, Coogee and Bondi, it's quite a nice area. But no swimming today. Freezing cold, raining. Good luck to the guys playing golf. That's all I can say. It's going to be a tad wet for you, Mido.
Hopefully we'll be all right.
But for a good cause.
Just soften the greens
up, hopefully. Good cause.
Morning to you, Lozza.
Morning, boys. Enjoyed the footy last night. The Broncos, 5 in a row. Wow, what a performance. I thought they may have struggled last night when they lost Adam Reynolds just before kickoff. Even though I tipped the Broncos, I thought, oh, without Adam Reynolds, he's been integral to them over the last couple of weeks. But they didn't miss a beat. Anthony Milford had his first game in a long while, and he had some nice touches in the first half. Brilliant. A little bit rusty in the second period of time. I didn't expect that scoreline, 36 points to 12. They're currently in the top four, the Brisbane Broncos. They're being tough in defence, and their rhythm in attack is starting to appear, and they've got some strike all over the paddock, and their wingers again were excellent last night, Cobbo and Corey Oates. Yeah, he's going to be a good player. Still only 19 years of age. But, they've got a good forward pack, got some strike out wide. They missed their key player in Adam Reynolds, but still were able to get the job done. The Newcastle Knights, they just faded poorly.
Mate, Bunker cost them.
Oh, I don't know
about that Gagai try. That was 100% a try. That was third umpire in cricket. Slow motion looking at a catch and saying the ball touched the grass. I was like, mate, no, yeah, he might have lost control, but he regained it with that pressure, pushing his hand onto the ball into the ground. I reckon that's 100% a try.
I could have given it a try, but they say that you have to re-grip the ball. It, yeah. You see, your fingers are going to go around the ball again.
Mate.
But in real time, that's a try every day of the week.
Every single... Well, I feel like we start out as, how do we disallow the try? That's where we start. And then if we have to award it, then we award it.
Yeah, without the bunker, that's a try every day of the week. No one even realises that his hands...
And again, I'll say the same. You tell me, because I wouldn't know in footy, but generally, you know. Like in cricket, I'll say 8 out of 10, but probably 9 out of 10, you know if you get your hand under that ball for that catch. Yeah. 9 out of 10 time. I would imagine, when you watch Gagai's... when he gets up, when he scores a try, but most importantly, when it's disallowed, how angry or how disappointed he is with that call, I reckon he knew straight away that was 100% a try in his mind as well. And I don't know, maybe I'm saying we're too honest as players, but I reckon you know. When you're out there, you know.
Well, you saw the reaction of him, and then you saw the reaction of Lachlan Fitzgibbon as well when he went to score a try.
Exactly
across the
right.
Line.
Exactly right. He knew he dropped the ball.
But with Gagai, I'm pretty sure he thought he reclaimed the ball. And he did. I mean, yes, he had the ground there to help him, but the hand comes back on the football and he grounds it. Yes, I know you've got this, you know, regrouping, but I thought it was a try. But again, I will say this, they folded meekly in the second half, Newcastle. When it got a bit tough, that's the concern if you're Adam O'Brien, the way that you allowed those points at the end of the game to flow.
Mm. Gosh, we've had a lot of texts already, including a couple last night as soon as the incident happened. We've got here this. The bunker is an absolute joke. How on earth they denied Dane Gagai that try is beyond me. It's ruining the game. This season is worse than ever. From Bunny Rabbits there in Newcastle. That was last night. How can you genuinely follow the NRL when they changed the rule to suit the scenario? If Broncos were attacking the Knights line, it would have been an obstruction. Ruined the game, the Cobbo try. Would we have won the game? Probably not. But it definitely ruined a good game, says Jackson from Brisbane. Morning, boys.
I agree with that as well, Mitter. I think the Cobbo one, if you go on how they've been ruling in the past however long, then to me, it's you've got to pull it up. It's got has to be a penalty.
And I think that's
so it's the inconsistency that's the killer, even though when I watch it, I think it's the right call. But they haven't been reffing like that. I don't think it is an obstruction. I think you should play on.
No.
He actually uses the defender. I'm not sure who the defender was. I reckon he uses the Broncos player to push away to actually like to help him get to the attacker.
So the difficulty in this one will be the video referee has judged that he's received the ball on the inside, but he releases the ball before he gets to the outside.
Oh my God! But this is pulled up 9 times out of 10 this season. No, Loz, this is pulled up.
That's pulled up because he runs around him. What they're saying is because he passes.
It was Kloon.
But because Kloon he passes on his inside before he actually loops around, that's why it's not an obstruction.
When I watch it, I don't think it is an obstruction. But because of the way they've been reffing, I think they have to pull it up. They're pulling that up every day of the week this year.
Yeah, but what the difference is? You've got to run around. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong because I can't tell. To me, I thought it was an obstruction based on what they did this season.
Yeah.
But when they're analysing it, the video referee looks at it and he's made a decision that he's passed the ball
before
he loops around.
Okay.
He takes another 2 steps...
He's picking it up.
He's picking it up. It's a penalty.
Oh, so he gets it. Yeah, okay.
So it's a bit like me and you here now, all right?
But he reckons we're just looking at the vision. Now, you think they're saying he releases...
I can't tell.
Yeah, okay.
Because of the angle, you can't tell. So they will go with the referee.
And you know the problem with that? When we see it on vision now, it's the line of the camera doesn't also tell you where he is in regards to the player that's in front of him.
That's exactly
we're
right.
going on that camera angle.
Yeah.
But the camera mightn't be... The camera might be side. It might not be straight down the line, you know?
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And that's why they'll go with the referee on this occasion.
Yeah, okay.
I reckon he's exactly behind him.
But on that camera angle, 100%.
Yeah.
But it's like an LBW. This is the thing as well. Sometimes the camera is not 100% behind middle stump. Like, it might be the camera that sits up the top above the side screen might be just a fraction off, so it's not aligned straight. So sometimes you'll see LBWs on DRS say, you go, that's missing leg stump. But the third umpire has a straight down the barrel camera and says, no, it's actually going on to hit leg stump. Only got to be a mil off. And with that, again, the other thing as well, Loz, like, there's momentum as well. So, like, you're not stop still, catch the ball, pass the ball.
No.
So if he's a mil either way, that's the decision, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why they will support him.
Because I'll say on field.
Well, you can't be sure.
Yeah, okay.
You've got to go with the on-field ref. You cannot be sure that he's behind him when he passes that ball because of the camera angle. I can't be sure.
Yeah.
I honestly, I can't be sure. And you can't penalise someone if he gets the ball, receives the ball beforehand, on his side, and then passes it before he runs around him.
Yeah.
Because it's not an obstruction.
Yeah.
Technically, it's not an obstruction.
But
it looks like an obstruction.
Yeah, okay. But that when I look at that, though, I feel like I've seen that 100 times this year get penalised.
Yeah. Yep, exactly right. But what they will say is because you pass it, so if I pass it to you and Middo's your lead runner, and I pass it to you and you're on his inside now, if you run around him,
penalty every day of the week.
But if I pass it to you and you're still on his inside and then you pass it, how can that be obstruction?
Yeah,
so that's what they're arguing in this case.
Here's a good point. Someone texted in, if Kloon fell over, it would have been a penalty.
Whoa.
You're probably right.
I reckon that is right.
Here's Brad from Broadbeach saying Kloon stuffed up.
I actually think Kloon, that's what I'm saying. I think Kloon uses the Broncos player to actually allow himself to get to the attacking. Like, I reckon he did stuff up. I reckon he was too honest and was still trying that did cost him a penalty.
Yeah, well, again, it just gets back to the interpretation of the video referee, whether he loosed the ball on his inside before he got to the outside.
Yeah.
And again, it looks like an obstruction, but the video referee goes with the on-field call because And they've got different camera angles too, by the way.
In the bunker. Yeah, okay.
They're not looking at the DRS. Same. Yeah, they're not looking at what we're seeing.
Okay.
So he's obviously looked at it and seen that he hasn't run around him. He's released the ball before he gets to his outside. So, I'm looking at it thinking that's an obstruction. But when you get the rule explained to you, you actually understand why he's made that call.
Lots of people not happy. Rooster Man, the footy was a joke. What is an obstruction? Also here, we've got, Michael Clark, he's correct. The bunker cost Newcastle Knights the game, says Andy at Bathurst. We've got, just everyone blowing up, really. Bucket Gunnar. Morty Boys, the Knights are robbed. They were in the game until the bunker ruled no obstruction. The Knights lost all the momentum. Surely the bunker needs to go. We'll just keep them coming. 0419 767 272. In the end, though, 36-12, Brisbane over Newcastle. What did you make of Anthony Milford, Loz, in his first game back?
He had some nice touches.
First half, he had some good moments.
Yeah, he just looked rusty, and fatigue. Yeah, once you get fatigue in the second half, your passing drops off, your timing is out. You start to feel it in the legs. You can't push up in support. You drop off a little bit of intensity in defence, and you're not as accurate as what you were and excited as you were when the game first happens and you're in the contest early. As Newcastle's performance started to drop away, or the intensity, he's did as well. But there's a bit to work with. He actually looked a little bit trimmer, if I can say that. He looked a little bit trimmer than what he had done previously. He'll get better. Probably kept him on a little bit too long, I suppose. I think
if he just plays the first half, he's had a belter. Caelan Ponga, I reckon, looked better having him there as well.
I think he should have probably played about 45 minutes, something like that. Yeah. I think it was too much of an ask to come on and play.
He looked in control. It looked like he was controlling
when they were on the front foot. Yeah, he looked really good. But he looked fit too.
I read yesterday about his whole training regime that he's undertaken, and his diet and training that they've put him on since he got to Newcastle. But he knows better than anyone. There is no fitness like match fitness.
No, once you've got to go up and back, up and back, up and back, you've got bodies running at you, you're making tackles, you get fatigued, and then your legs feel heavy, and then your arms get heavy, and you're trying to pass, and then you're not as sharp and as crisp as what it needs to be. You're a little bit rusty. It's different when you have a bit more time at training, when your opposition are coming at you in defence, when you get out there and the intensity of the game, the speed of the game. Everything happens at a breakneck speed and you're under pressure, and if you don't execute well, you get found out. And as the game went on and more fatigued he became, the errors started to roll in.
Joel from Newcastle, he's not happy. He's a fed-up Knights fan, saying that, basically the NRL officials, they should be in the queue at Centrelink. Oh, just before we get to the headlines, intriguing in the Premier League this morning, these catch-up games. And Everton, at home, are trailing 2-0 against Crystal Palace.
Trouble.
That is trouble, because Burnley are 1-0 up against Aston Villa at half-time at Villa Park. Chelsea and Leicester 1-1, so three games this morning. But as it stands, in the live ladder, Everton would head into the final day 1 point ahead of Leeds. Guess who Everton play, Loz? Arsenal, who are battling top four with Tottenham.
Oh, they're going down. Who do Leeds play?
Leeds play on the final day. Brentford away.
Oh, that's a winnable game.
Everton could go down. They've got to pull something out of the fire here in the second half at least.
That's your arch rival, isn't it, Everton?
It's United and Everton. Everton, the thing is with the Everton-Liverpool derby, it's not uncommon to see like family members sitting next to each other in the crowd with different shirts on.
Right.
Whereas you would never get that with Liverpool.
Yeah.
That's Liverpool-Manchester United's hate.
So they don't, it's just the derby.
It's like the, it's the
Local derby, local obviously, derby. But there's not as,
there's no love.
The hatred
don't get me
more
wrong.
With Man U than.
Yeah, Man U's the despised rival.
Right.
Yeah. Everton's not loved, but it's not to the vitriolic extent that it is with the United.
It's just more the rivalry there.
Fellas, back page of the Daily Telegraph. I'll tell you what, I'm going to do a hemi and go over to the States. Look at this, Latrell, just cash. some California dreaming for Trill is the headline. There he is, just, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge in the background. Seriously, have a go. Yeah, well, I mean, he's going to be out for weeks. That's what that tells me. Well, he's not coming back anytime soon.
Well, they're saying he'll be back after Origin 1.
Right.
So he possibly may play for New South Wales this year if he gets back and plays a game. But they're talking about him getting a game in before Origin 2. And then depending on how New South Wales are going, obviously, will determine whether he gets back into that team or not. But I think they see him as a... Well, he's a long-term investment, and they want to make sure that he's got no ongoing issues with a hemi. And I know you had back, but I had a lot of hemi issues. You had hemis too.
I had ongoing
issues with my hemi for years.
Yeah.
So obviously they're trying to take that out of the equation, spend a bit more time, keep him out of the game, off the field, and make sure that they get it 100% right. Because I can only relate it to me.
Yeah.
I kept on having ongoing issues for years.
And footy, for someone like Luttrell, well, for every league player, your speed is everything. Like in cricket, I could really, if I lost a bit of speed running between the wickets or in the field, you can still get away with it. In footy, like that's defining for someone like Luttrell as fullback.
Yeah, and he's powerful too.
Mate, he's got to...
Pushes off his legs really hard.
And he's not 70 kilos.
No.
Like he's carrying weight. You know, which, again, part of his strength. Yeah. So, you know, again, that was the other thing. For every injury is different. Every person's different. But for me, I played it. I'm probably 84 kilos, 85 kilos now. I played at 74 because I didn't want to carry an ounce of any extra fat because of my back and my hemis. Someone like Luttrell, he can't afford to go and drop 10 kilos to support his hemis.
No,
he needs that for the way he stole a play.
He's an explosive player too. He accelerates through the line.
He needs to get this hemi 100%. Yeah. And very, very rarely, well, like I'm saying, this is different. Tendon is different to muscle. And I think, like, I'd love us to have a, you know, get a physio on to be able to explain, because I don't know it well enough. But I just know in my time, like I say, I think I did my right one eight times. My left one, I did once. I actually ripped it apart and had to have surgery on that. Anytime it touched got close to touching the tendon. Mate, the experts were saying that they would prefer you to tear the muscle and have surgery than for it to have the problem with the tendon, because it just takes so long to heal and you never know if it's going to get to back to 100%. So, you know, we were speaking about Tommy T last year, exact same thing, and he's found a way to be able to, you know, at least feel like he's back to 100%.
And he's got his routine too now. You see him in the dressing set before the game.
Training and stuff. He does sprints and stuff at training to keep his speed up. So this thing for Luttrell, even if he's got amazing expertise and machines and physio, mate, this is the rest of his career now. His hamstring is, you know, just as important as, you know, my back for me as a batsman bending forward and being in that position the whole time. He needs to be at 100%. So I can understand why Souths are willing to spend the money.
Yeah. And it's going to be a big effort too, because you just can't turn up one day and go, well, I'm not going to do this now. I'm not going to go through this routine, mate, with my hamstring. He'll probably have to do at least half an hour before every training session, before he starts. You'll have a routine there 100%. To get yourself ready, this prehab. Then you go into
100%, mate. That's the part. You got any weakness, and you're that's called extras. That's what you have to do. That's the individual extras you have to do to make it onto the field. That doesn't guarantee performance. That allows you to walk onto the field with your teammates.
So that's the issue now with Luttrell. He's going to have to do all this extra stuff.
The Bulldogs, back pages of the papers all week, and again today ahead of, well, this game at Leichhardt tonight. Intriguing, isn't it? The Tigers and the Dogs. But on the back page of the telly, I swear this is a headline we would have seen probably 2.5, 3 years ago. $6 million dog whistle, war chest to arm new coach with cash to revive club. And on the back page of the Herald, Gus getting hands on, no dogs dilemma for Potter, the interim coach. But the Dogs again, this article on the back page of the telly saying, well, come 2024, they've only got, I think, 8 players on their list, not many on big money at that point. So come 2024, they're going to have money to spend galore, Loz. But I'm sure that was the case as we were getting towards the end of the so-called Des Hasler era that was tied up in all those contracts. So here we go again for the Dogs.
What's about being smart? It's about being smart with your signings. You've got to make sure that you get a player that can fit into the system and fit into what your coach wants you to do. and you just can't be willy-nilly about it. You can't pay overs for players and be stuck with a salary cap that's just out of whack. And when you look at what the Dogs have done recently, that suggests they need an overhaul of their salary cap management and their list management. And that's exactly what Gus is about to do. You know, Brent Naden won't be the first player to be tapped on the shoulder. And, you know, and whether he's tapped on the shoulder or whether he wanted to release, that it doesn't really matter. The fact will be that they will make change. Mm. They will make change. There'll be a different roster, looking roster, to the one they have now in 18 months' time.
Also, back page of the Herald here, every hog has its day. And Wayne Bennett, when he was at Souths, he banned Jai Arrow from getting on his wheels, his Harley there, Clarky. So there you go. Next time you come down to Long Bay, Jai Arrow might come for a ride with you.
Yeah, well, we've all got our things,
haven't
we?
Is that what you've got? Something like that?
I've got a Night Rod Special. That's right. What I've got.
Okay.
Had it for a long time. Had it for 10 years.
How often do you pull it out?
Nah, very rarely now. Since I had my daughter, I don't ride much at all now. But I love it. I'll never get rid of it, that's for sure.
It's just ticked over 6 o'clock now. I'll tell you what, one of our very loyal listeners, fellas, works here. We're at St. Michael's Golf Club here down at Little Bay in Sydney, down just south of Maroubra. And Finchop, who has been working here, we had a text, I think, yesterday saying that you got to get Finchop on. He's here. He's been working here for about 15 plus years.
We need to get track conditions.
So, Finchop, if you're listening, come up and say g'day. Finchop came up and said g'day to us at we had a grand final lunch at Ramwick. I think that was 2020. Just post all the lockdowns, the first lockdowns.
We want to know how the greens are going to play, so we need a track condition update.
Yeah. So, Finchop, come and say g'day.
What is that, a heavy 7? No, heavy 8, sorry. Soft 7.
They've got the covers on out there.
Yeah.
Good wicket.
The covers, yeah.
Still
covers
batting,
for golf
still
courses.
Batting wicket. They've got the covers on.
Win the toss and bowl.
Today.
Probably.
Yeah, what are we doing in conditions
I'm still going to bat because when you bowl, the ball gets wet, so it affects the bowlers. So I know it's going to be tough first couple of hours, but I'm still going to bat. I'm going to think about bowling, but I'm going to bat.
Oh, it's going to zip around.
It's going to be nasty. You don't want to be an opener or a number 3, but I'm a captain, so I might come in about 6 or 7. You blokes do the hard work. I'll come in after lunch.
Well, when you're 3 for 2, see you in the middle. It's a bit past 6. Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Coming to you this morning from St. Michael's Golf Club here at Little Bay, ahead of the New South Wales Trainers Association Charity Golf Day. Now, just some scores in the Premier League. 3 games this morning before the final day in the early hours of Monday morning our time. But Crystal Palace... Well, Everton have pulled one back at Goodison Park. Palace still leading 2-1, just over the hour mark there. Aston Villa and Burnley is 1-1, 53 minutes gone, and a similar amount of time gone in the Chelsea-Leicester game, and that is also 1-1 this morning. Now, in the PGA Championship, round 1 overnight, Rory McIlroy, clubhouse leader, 5-under-65. Apparently, the conditions were quite tough now. Dick Fain tipped us Will Zalatoris. And he's tied for second with Tom Hoge at the moment. And they shot a 4-under-66. Cam Smith, best of the Aussies, in contention, 2-under-68 in his opening round. Adam Scott is 1-under through 6 holes out on the course at the moment. Lucas Herbert, 1-under through 2 holes. And I'll find some more through these. Jason Day, even through 4 holes. So plenty out there on the course at the moment. At Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Jamie Rogers, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys, and good morning to all of our listeners. Boys, I can see you on the screen from where I'm sitting, and it looks very cold out there. You're all rugged up.
Cozy in here.
Yeah.
You stay in this little cocoon, we're fine, Jamie, but as soon as this door behind me opens, it's, we're in the snow.
How many years you had those trackies for, Lozza?
A while, mate.
Yeah.
They're his favourites.
Look at what's going with the knee.
Adidas carpet burns, they're called. He got carpet burn on the knee. Too many knee slides after a few bourbon and cokes in the heyday.
Early this morning, boys, when you need...
You just go for whatever you
when
can
When you
feel.
Need to get a pair of tracksuit bottles whatever you can and get. You can't find any, you got to go deep inside your drawer.
At least you're not wearing the wife's or the son's. I thought you'd turn up with the son's kid on.
No,
sometimes
these wouldn't fit me.
A bit small.
No. A bit too long.
Boys, we were speaking yesterday about a potential love triangle that's going on in swimming with Kyle Chalmers, Cody Simpson and Emma McKeon. And it's almost taken like a little bit more of a step. And this is because Kyle Chalmers has turned around and said, you know what, actually, I am going to go and swim at the World Championships of Budapest. He originally wasn't going to compete in the 100 metres butterfly. Now, he finished second in the final with Cody Simpson following in third, which meant Cody will miss out if Kyle Chalmers decides he wants to go and compete at Budapest, which he has said yes. And so then Chalmers was asked yesterday by a reporter, did he think about Cody when he made this decision? And Kyle obviously came out and said, no, there's six other people in this race, but swimming is a cutthroat sport and you have to finish in the top two to get an individual spot. And well, unfortunately for Cody, this is my dream and he's always wanted to be a butterflyer. So look, the teams are announced on Sunday. So
this is messy.
Juicy.
This is heavy. Yeah. And this is the complete opposite to what I said yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, just get on with it. Like, we've all got a pass. We've all dated people. Yeah. Like, play on. This is not that.
No.
This is, guess what, Cody? Have some of the fire.
This is moving away.
I'm taking, yeah, this is a movie. This is a Netflix documentary.
Isn't
for
it?
Sure. Stan, when are we watching this on Stan?
I know, it's gold. But look, Cody potentially go to Budapest. The team will be announced on Sunday at the end of these national championships. He'll definitely go to the Comm Games because he finished in third and they take the top three to the Comm Games, but they only take the top two to Budapest. So let's just get your popcorn and continue to watch. But still the swimming boys, Zach Stubblety-Cook, who won gold in Tokyo, he actually broke the world record last night in the 200 metres breaststroke. And he's now the only Australian man to hold a long course world record. We know that in the women's, Kaylee McEwen and the relay all hold them, but a massive result by him. So we're looking like we're still going very great in the pool, boys.
Yeah, awesome. Now, in the NBA front, JR, we've got game two today, the East Finals.
Yeah, and I should mention that Al Horford is going to be lining up for Boston. They announced that this morning, and that was a big blow for them when they did lose game one to Miami Heat. They'll be looking to bounce back today. And yesterday, guys, the Warriors, we mentioned on the show that they would need to stop Luka Doncic if they were at any chance of getting the win yesterday, and they did that. And we really should mention Andrew Higgins, who was outstanding defending Luka, who was kept to just 20 points. And that's the third time out of his 24 postseason games that he failed to score more than 20 points. So the Warriors have remained unbeaten at home in the playoffs, and they led by as much as 30 points at one point, and Steph Curry finishing with 21. So tip off for game two in the East today at 10:30.
Great stuff, JR. We'll check in later this morning. Give us a call, 13 53 53. Send us a text, 0419-767-272. And Finchop Fellas says, up soon. Just mowing these fairways for you.
Beautiful. You the chop. Now you're playing golf today, Mido, aren't
I
you?
I am attempting to play golf, yes.
Right, how do you go on the wet?
Look, you know, slower greens, hopefully. So right. Give it a bit more of a whack. What about this one, Mido? Latrell Mitchell just needs a Laurie Daly thermoskin, and he'd be good to go this week, says Nev from Maitland.
I've got a thermoskin at home. When I go into the W room, all my stuff is packed away. And I was looking for some old stuff. Oh, it would have been 2 weeks ago. Mm. And I saw the old thermo skin there.
How's it looking? Was it in good nick still?
Worn.
Yeah, I bet. I bet it looked worn.
Faded. I nearly was tempted to put
it on. Try it on.
Yeah. Nearly tempted to put it on and think.
You got the old shoulder pads in there still?
No, I don't know what I did with the shoulder pads. They were all ice hockey pads.
Oh, man.
That's how big they were. And you'd take the cups out of them.
Oh, my but God.
They were massive shoulder pads back in the day.
36-12 last night, Brisbane over Newcastle. And, Newcastle, we've spoken a bit about their injuries. They had a couple of players back last night, but Bradman Best dislocated his elbow.
Did look good, didn't it?
Geez, it looked nasty.
Painful. Look painful.
Didn't ever have that?
No, never dislocated my elbow. But I think if it goes back in pretty quickly...
You're okay.
Well, reasonably okay. I think you can play within 2 weeks.
Oh, mate.
I think you can get back onto the field. You can just strap it up and away you go. Mm. But he's another guy. Bradman just hasn't kicked, has he? Mm. He's had a massive rap and just doesn't see enough quality ball and...
Is that the system loss?
He's got good footwork. He's got good strength, but it seems as though that's all he's relying on at the moment, just that strength. Whereas I'm sure he's got other parts to his game.
Mm.
But coming into the Knights system, when they're not playing well, I don't know, he seems like a bit of a quiet kid. You know, I don't see him sort of getting too animated on the field and talking a lot. He sort of just seems to go with the flow. I think he probably needs to step up a little bit too. He's been in and around that system now for a couple of years, so he should feel comfortable there. And that's what you're after with some of these young guys, is once they've been in the system for a while, they can then feel confident to challenge people and make sure they're holding everyone to account.
Mm.
Rather than when you first come in, you're just prepared to sit there and sort of see what happens and how it unfolds and listen to what the senior players have to say. But they need input from a lot of people, and they certainly need input from Bradman to get more involved.
We spoke about Selwyn Cobbo, but gee, didn't Caelan Ponga have some good moments last night? And I could only think these two for Queensland, I said it earlier in the week, they're going to terrorise us for the next 5 to 10 years playing together. But Ponga, I think it was off the first set.
Kickoff, wasn't it?
It was the kickoff.
Yeah.
Made a break down that left-hand touchline, yeah.
And
it was off kick return.
And the try score was a great try.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a very good player. Mm. And he's playing a lone sort of hand at the moment with the ball. And Milford took a little bit of pressure off him last night in the first half.
I thought he looked better. In that first half, I thought he looked back to his best.
Yeah.
And I reckon Milford, I don't know, he obviously just has that confidence in Milford as well.
Gave sort him of some other funny, options. Though, with Caelan too, like, I know fullback, you know, they've got to be strong defensively in terms of organising defensive lines. But he's still, Caelan to me, he can tackle, but he misses too many easy tackles on the line, try-scoring tackles, if you know what I mean. You know, at times he can pull off big hits and he's always there, but he's got to improve that part of his game too, because just setting them up is good, but you still need to stop them as well. And you need to stop those crucial ones. So there's times there when he bounces off. And if you want to be a very, very good player, you've got to be able to stop those tackles. Yeah, I think Billy Walters there last night, I think he bounced off him.
Yep.
He should have been able to tackle him there.
Give us a call, 1353 53. But just before we go to the break, the multi, courtesy of Sticky Wings Loz, is open. Is open, and you're looking at Rose Hill tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going Rose Hill number 6, number 9, Dukari to place.
That's race 6, number 9.
Race 6, number 9, and then we're going race 7, number 3, Alias top 2.
The Wagga Cup winner.
Wagga Cup winner.
Alias. Dukari to place, and Elias top 2 in races 6 and 7 at Rose Hill Gardens tomorrow.
Yeah, and if you want to be a part of that, Mido, that's paying $8.
Eight. I'm seeing 10.
Oh, 10. All right. Oh, they've pumped it up. Dicko pumped it up. The last message I got last night was $8.
Right. You've shirt-fronted him again.
Yeah.
Outstanding. And won.
Beautiful. Well, I did text him back and say, mate, you got any more juice? And then I've obviously haven't looked. And he's come back to me. So thanks, Dicko.
Squeeze that lemon a little tighter.
Yes.
Didn't you?
Well, he's
bit
not,
more juice.
Well, he is. He's a good man. Good man, Dicko. He's a very good man.
Why'd you have to think
but
about
when that? He always lowballs me.
Yeah. Tight ass.
He always lowballs me.
Yeah, you got to squeeze a lemon a bit more.
So that's what I've learnt with him. When he lowballs you, you come back with another go.
You got to negotiate.
Like an and he gives in.
And he gives in. Mm. He comes back.
Mm.
But I was...
Sounds like he's a bad negotiator. Because
you
seem to get your way every time.
Well, no, I don't get it every time. And he must... I'll have a look here. I'll see when he did text me.
3 a.m. Just got in.
Hang on.
Bender.
Well, there you go. He did. He texted me about 10 o'clock last night.
Mm. Got the desired result.
Here
we are at St. Michael's Golf Club for the New South Wales Trainers Association Charity Golf Day. And this is a little bit of rain at the moment. It's going to clear. This will blow over. Had a quick look at the radar then, Loz. Just a little blob at the moment. So everyone coming out. A great day in prospect. So
Sitting right above us at the moment.
It's just a little blob, isn't it?
Yeah, little blob at the moment, right. Mido, but that'll pass. That will clear.
We've got Willie on the line. Good morning, Willie.
Good morning, how you going?
Mate, very well yourself.
mate, just pumping iron, mate, just finished about 2 hours ago and got the Laurie Daly singlet on. Looking great, you know.
Your Laurie Daly singlet?
He wears a singlet.
You got to wear those singlets, mate.
Make him look big. Hey, listen, true story. You're talking about Nick, do you? Mistake, what did he do, pull up or something? Did he mistake the lass or something? The jockey.
Oh, Michael Poy.
Oh, my. Yeah, well, I was a Triton driver, was, and I drove a Bulleye.
Yeah.
It was a three-lap race. We backed it. Huh. I drove it and backed it into 15 to 6 or 4. And I didn't hear the bell. I don't think I heard the bell. I have the back. And I seen these horses coming. I thought, I'd better go because they're backing me. And I'm in the straight of Bulleye, bang, and I'm five in front, lifting a whip. And I said, how good's this? You beauty. Anyway, they're coming past me. They're going, oi, oi, oi. And I said, shit, there's another lap to go.
How did you feel?
I got 6 months.
Six months?
Right, okay. Jeez.
Well, you should feel lucky then, Michael Poy.
Oh, mate. You know, I it was at Bulleye. I used to race today over 2,000. I dropped it back to a mile. Mm. And of course, a mile's only a couple of laps, and Bulleye's about three laps. And I just didn't hear the bell.
You didn't hear the bell.
I was so excited. It was going to be my first winner. And I've got the whip in the air. Yeah,
you celebrated.
What about when you got back? What did your mates and the owners, what were they saying?
Dude, the punters giving it to me, didn't they?
I bet they did.
Oh, how good are you? Is that your last ride, you goose? Said, 6 months, I said, you beauty.
There we go, I'll have a rest.
Can I ask when this was, Willie? How long ago?
Oh, mate. Minnow, you know, the guy, mate. Oh, be 2000, 2008 and 7.
Okay. Yeah.
I was 6 months, right. I was dead set. The whip went up in the air. And I thought, I'm five. I said, hey, George, I'm five in front. They backed it. They backed it 20s in the 6 to 4. But didn't have to put much on a Bulleye.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was my first winner in 60 drives. I said, how good is this? The whip went up. I looked at the camera, and they've seen these horses. And they're singing out, Johnny, keep going.
Oh, no.
Do your mates still give it to you today?
Oh, rip the tear into me, bruh. Hey, I said, oh, mate, how good's that? But I've got the video at home, and I kept watching. I said, how good's it? It's sensational, I'm telling you.
I could be burning that video. I wouldn't be re-watching it.
I could only imagine the spray.
I could only imagine.
Good on you, Willie. Thanks for the call, mate. So, 2 months he didn't get off his appeal. He didn't get any leniency there, Michael Poy. 2 months for going the lap early there. Was it Kyneton, wasn't it? Last week, so two weeks ago. Now, Clark, you were telling us about before off air.
Mm.
England named a test squad.
They did, to take on New Zealand.
And what did they do?
Had a little misdemeanor. I think the ECB, as they announced their starting, well, their squad, they probably picked 12 or 13 players. They announced Joe Root as captain. So they forgot that Ben Stokes has now taken over the captaincy and, made a little stuff up there, which you would imagine
that's a good start.
A little in-house joke. I'm sure Stokes, he enjoys that, being his first test match as captain. And, things you do. But I think they've brought Anderson and Broad back as well into the squad. There's a couple of debutants, a couple of new faces. No Joss Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, no Jofra Archer, not only in this test match, but he's out for the rest of the season.
That's a massive blow.
I think he's got stress fractures. So he's been injured, come back, obviously backbone in the nets, and now they've found he's got stressies. So, yeah, he's going to be out for a while. That's huge for him. And, again, from experience, you're young bowlers with stress fractures. It can take years Pat Cummins probably had his first 4 years in and around the Australian team. He was in and out with stress fractures.
I'll tell you another bowler who could have been anything and was quality, whose career was ruined by that, Shane Bond.
Yeah, Bondy was a genius. Bondy performed better against Australia than any other team. He was a freak. Certainly in one-day cricket, he was an absolute genius. Fast right arm and swung the ball into a right-hander. Very rare. but good pace, good aggression. But then, yeah, when he played Test cricket, again, he got injured regularly, so cut his career in half.
He was coaching out here too, wasn't he?
Bondi coached Sydney Thunder, yeah. Yep. Great fella. Lovely, lovely guy, but, mate, he was a very good bowler.
G'day, Rod.
Boys, how are we?
Good, thanks, Rod. How are you, mate?
Good, Lozza. Good luck to you. Gone on your Raiders the other day, mate. Couldn't only look very flat.
Probably they were great. Flat, Rod. And I saw your text yesterday. I reckon you could be onto something there. We might be flat this week.
Yeah, we've got the flu too. What's happening? Anyway, just on Adam Clune, mate.
Yep.
I liked that last night because he didn't take a dive. And all you pathetic, weak NRL players who are now being coached to dive as soon as the defender gets in the way, how about you do what you were taught as a kid and make a defensive read? I'm over it, Laurie. Seriously. Good on you, Adam Clune. Sorry, Laurie. He kept his integrity last night. Not many of you other NRL footballers do when it comes to that. Sorry, mate.
No, you're right, mate. I think Clarkie touched on that this morning. He could have easily taken a dive. And
he definitely would have got the penalty, I reckon.
If he takes a dive, I'm pretty confident they would have reversed that decision.
Well, he doesn't give up on the play.
No.
That's the key. In that situation last night, he finds a way around the obstruction, call it an obstruction, the player causing the obstruction. He actually tries to use the Brisbane player to push himself around, like give him some momentum to get around him, you know. And I reckon that does cost him a penalty. But, I'm with Rod. I'd rather see players do that every day of the week.
But the problem is it's a rule.
Yeah, no, I understand. I get that. I think that's the beef as well, right? The inconsistency of the rule at the moment.
Yep.
Everyone's
the interpretation
like,
of it. Yep.
So yeah, frustrating for all Knights fans, I'm sure.
Good on you, Rod. Thanks for the call, mate. Everton have equalised at Goodison Park after being 2-0 down against Crystal Palace. Yeah. It is 2-2.
In what? 10 minutes? 20 minutes?
They scored in the 54th and the 75th minute. Richarlison.
Yes, get in there, Everton.
Equalising there. So, Everton, what are you, a big Everton fan?
After hearing your gripe with them, I'm on them. And Timmy Cahill played there? There's a bit of a soft spot. And I like, who's the old captain of Chelsea that's the coach?
Oh, Frank Salazar.
I like Lampard. I don't mind him.
Oh, please.
I don't mind him.
Righty-o.
I don't want him to get relegated.
Okay, this conversation's finished. It's 6:30. we're on air, you two. Loz has just ordered the triple shot.
What's
going on there?
I think I swore.
No, didn't hear anything. Clark.
Apologies if
you.
I did.
We'll blame someone else. It was Will Friedman.
Will Friedman.
Apologies.
Yeah,
I was talking about the myth of green tea.
We're talking about the myth of green tea.
So hang on. Let me just tell you why I swore. So Loz has gone, within a week, he's gone from, mate, I've been on green tea for 3 months. Like, can't you tell? Don't I look better? Will just comes in and says, does anyone want a coffee? Loz goes, I'll have a triple shot.
I'm tired.
Health freak green tea going to save his life, clear all cancer. To, mate, forget it.
It's overrated.
Give me a triple shot, mate.
It's overrated. you've probably learnt now. I'm one of these people who give things a go. And if I don't get instant results,
well, Google
I'm out.
Google killed you.
I'm out.
When you Googled green tea and nothing come up, you were devastated.
Well, Google did kill me because I used to make up a lot of stories. You know when you tell stories?
Oh, yeah.
Now people could just Google it. You can't get away with lying anymore.
You know what you used to, as a cricketer, you always add a few as well. Like someone goes, oh, mate, you made 20. Nah, I made 30 odd.
Yeah.
You Google it. No, mate, you made 22. I used to do it to my old man all the time. He'd come home from a day playing clubbies and he'd say, how'd you go? I got 30 odd, Dad. The next day, I'm an idiot. It was in the paper. You got naked, mate. You got 21. Catch me out every time.
Oh, no.
40 odd,
yeah.
40 odd.
Scoreboard update. Clarkie, Everton, 3-2 ahead of Crystal Palace. Unbelievable comeback here. They were down 2-0 at half-time to Palace.
Go, Timmy Cahill's team.
Three second-half goals. And Aston Villa and Burnley 1-1, and that's with about 10 minutes remaining. Similar Chelsea-Leicester 1-1. But as it stands, Everton would avoid relegation. They'd be 4 points clear of the drop zone.
You don't want Everton to be relegated. No, they're too big a team, surely.
Nah, go down. Get them down.
Can you imagine
they're
that?
They're down for 1 year.
Well, they won't have the Merseyside derby.
Well.
That's a big game for you guys.
Yeah, we've got enough big games. Like Champions League finals, that's pretty big.
That's arrogance.
Champions League finals. Everton won't even... Anyway.
Come back and bite
the listen
bum.
To him. Well, look, listen to
now
that.
Now, let's
be humble.
Championship.
That's why I don't like Liverpool. See what you do? What you do to your team. You make people dislike them because of your attitude.
He's been quiet for 20 years.
Yeah, I know.
And all of a sudden, the last couple,
I
he's
didn't even know.
Chirping.
I didn't know if you support. I didn't even know he supported Liverpool until
neither
about 12 months ago.
Well, I just don't wear Liverpool undies like, you know, a lot of other people. Anyway, Rory McIlroy, 5 under par.
Who?
Leeds.
Say that again.
Rory. That was Rory.
That was Rory
McIlroy. Rory McIlroy. Who's Rory
McIlroy? Get it out.
Mate,
get it out.
What is in that coffee, Rory? Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy leads the PGA Seriously? Championship at Southern.
He's gone.
Yeah,
he's
5
gone.
Under par.
On with you?
Will Zalatoris and Tom Hoger at 4
don't
under.
Get that one wrong.
Best of the Aussies. Cam Smith, 2 under 68 in his opening round. And Lucas Herbert's 1 under through 3 holes.
Rory McIlroy.
Adam Scott's even par through 8. Are you wearing red shoes today?
Oh, no, shoes.
What are they doing out in the street? Go back to that.
Yeah, actually, I was just thinking, how does Mido happen to run into a Channel 9 camera? What a coincidence.
Were you embarrassed when they asked you?
I was appalled.
And who would stop and do that interview? Yeah.
Well,
only
you do
someone
old,
chasing
did,
fame,
did,
right?
Did you do the old, don't you know where you move, move.
Mate,
I'm a radio
here,
star.
I've been here years ago, yeah. Mate. I walked away from
done,
television.
I've done that job. I'm a radio star now. I'm a broadcaster.
I'm trying.
So I'm a host.
How do you get roped in?
I was going for
Did you know
walk.
The person?
No, didn't know who
and you
it
didn't
was.
Know
it was
them.
Just a camera no. and a journo.
Yes.
And they just
So they were standing
you.
Outside the international terminal at Circular Quay there,
yep.
where the, and I'd been for a walk over. This is lockdown. This yep. is the first lockdown. So I'd been for a walk over to the Botanic Gardens, mm-hmm. and I was living down in North Sydney, Kirribilli area at the time. So on the way back, I've gone past to get back on the Harbour Bridge to go back up. And then this girl, she like just shoved the microphone
right
straight in my face.
You didn't get a choice.
What do you think about, you know, what was it?
So you didn't know it was happening. She didn't sort of tap you on the shoulder and say, excuse me, sir, would you
like to do
this interview?
No, it was walk up.
Right. So you're saying she was
rude. Microphone. Well, I'm just,
what channel?
9. It's just what journos do.
So being an old journo, you just thought, well, I'll stop and give her a grab.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Did you give her a nugget?
Oh, well,
what are they doing in the street?
Well, it ended up on
we're
the
still,
news.
We're still listening to it.
But surely you must have said something else.
I can't remember. I would have, probably. You know, as you know, they just get the
this little grab.
Box pop. Just get the little 3 or 4
that,
words.
That
there
suited
you go.
Them too. What are we doing in...
What are they doing out in the street?
Well, it was the Ruby Princess, wasn't it? So it was post
fair,
that.
Fair question.
Yeah. Did you like my response?
Fair answer.
You
did
to
I
be,
have a point,
you need,
Clark?
You needed to be sterner.
Point, yeah.
You needed to be sterner, harder.
What are they
it was a bit
doing
soft,
out
that
out
voice.
Street?
What are they doing out in the street? You should have said, what are they doing out
they?
On the street?
How dare they be out on the streets?
That's how you should have approached it.
Oh, you should have gave him a Rory McIlroy.
Poor Brad Rosen's listening. Yes, he was waiting patiently. Brad Rosen, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Good morning, team. And the Orlando Magic have the first pick. I do not think they will pick Rory McIlroy. Or
Mido's on fire in here, Bradley.
We will go to the NBA shortly, but I want to start with the NBL, Brad, because it seems
mate.
That only the ACT government, or support from the ACT government, is that's needed to get Loz's Canberra Cannons back in the NBL.
Oh, it gives me chills. The hairs on the back of your neck stand up when you think of the Cannons coming back. I played against them my whole career. Loved it. You're talking Phil Smythe days and the championship. Bob Turner was coached down there. Herb McGeechan. Oh, Lozza will love all
Cal. Don't forget Cal.
Cal. Don't forget Cal. Bruton, run and son and have some fun. The old good old Cal.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it'd be brilliant. And as we know, whatever Larry Kesselman wants, pretty much he gets with the NBL. So they've done a fantastic job. And on the back of what Tasmania has done, I'd be shocked if they're not there.
Yeah, they'd be well supported down there too, Brad. I mean, I was down there when I first got to Canberra, 87, and they were, I'm telling
hot
you,
ticket.
They were a hot ticket in town.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, look, they will. And I think they'll get the backing. And, you know, the good thing, we've had teams come in and fold previously, but not under the Larry Kesselman way, not the way he does it, and not the way we did it, you know, with Southeast Phoenix, and also now you add the Tasmania Jack Jumpers. I think it'd be brilliant for Canberra. It's exactly what it needs.
On that then, Brad, when do you think we'll see the second Sydney team?
Look, it wouldn't shock me if it's sooner rather than later. I mean, okay. Certainly not this coming year. You know, certainly not this coming season. I'd say, look, you'd lock it in for the following one, or at the absolute worst, the one the later. But it will be announced sooner. And what I mean is, they're not just going to say, right, here's the team, let's go. You know, they usually bring teams in a season before. It gives them time to get the coach, the staff, and then they start to recruit people. So very exciting times.
Over in the NBA, and I know, Brad, some of these awards and teams that are handed out really are, some are just so far off the mark. And
Josh
Giddey, I mean, he's been named in the NBA
All-Rookie
second team.
What are they?
And did they watch the first three quarters of the season?
I mean, the guy got Player of the Month a couple of times in a row. Like, what are they thinking? And I hate the fact, you know, like, some players do tend to get injured at the end of the year, or, you know, the season's done, so they'll go and have surgery and do what they do. So then they're sort of like a bit forgotten. How can you forget that kid? He was an absolute superstar. So it's completely wrong, ridiculous, and that's sometimes what I don't like. I mean, we've had some MVPs at the NBA where you shake your head and go, what, just because they can score? And that's what it seems like's happened here. Josh Giddey should have been in that first team, no question. Put it on your back, mate, and show them how good you should be in the next year.
Just before we get on to the current conference finals, your take of the fallout, particularly for Philadelphia and their playoff loss, I still think in time, Brad, that Ben Simmons to Brooklyn will end up, or the Brooklyn Nets will be a success, more so than James Harden at Philadelphia. And I think we got a taste of that in this playoff series.
100%. You know, I mean, look, you guys asked me, and I think we all agreed. Brooklyn won that without a doubt. They've done wrong, Philly, by Ben Simmons, and it came back to bite them. And look, if every Australian didn't have a bit of a smile in the back of their mind, you'd be shocked. I think it's one of those things where it's like, ha-ha, told you so. I know I did. And I think it's such a shame what happened in Philly. And they came back and bit them. That's simple as it is. And James Harden, oh, man, they were booing him. We've seen that before, haven't we?
Who's your pick, buddy, for both semis?
Well, how wrong was I? We sat here last week and I'm thinking, oh, look, it'll be Phoenix. See you later. So don't listen to me. But look, you'd have to go. It'd be so hard to go against Miami and Golden State, certainly after what they've done in the first games. Mm-hmm. But just as well, I mean, they're humming at the moment. I thought Luka was unbelievable with Dallas. But, you know, Golden State are another beast the way they're playing. So, yeah, you'd go against those two to win the conferences. And then please go seven, because those series have just been fantastic. Got to give a bit of credit to Boston as well. I thought they've been very good.
No, I'm still on the Boston train. I'm on the bandwagon. They're $2.05 for Game 2, tipping off 10:30 this morning. Miami $1.80. And Jamie told us earlier this morning that Horford and Marcus Smart should be back for the Celtics. So does that tip it in the Celtics' favour?
Look, I certainly think it tips it in a better favour for him. I mean, Marcus Smart's the glue for that team. And I mean, Al Horford as well, he's been great. But Marcus Smart, I mean, that guy can guard anyone from the 1 to 5, even with the height that he is. And he just gives them that oomph. But I'll tell you what, was he the best dressed or the weirdest dressed on the sideline there? The other guy, my goodness, how do you get away with wearing that? But anyway, look, I think with Boston, they will be so much better today. Wouldn't shock me with a win. But yeah, Miami at home, they're tough.
Oh, I'm having a bet there today. Boston $2.05.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. It's a good one.
And I want to get your take on Phoenix as well, because I reckon that's one of the greatest playoff meltdowns, considering they won 64 games to be beaten by Dallas and to be down 46 points on their home floor in a deciding Game 7. Have you seen a worse playoff result?
No, that's as simple as that. Absolutely not. And this is the team where everyone was like, wow, how good they've been. They made the finals last year. Okay, the Bucks got them. This is their year. There'll be a fallout for that. You know, clubs and general managers, they don't, you know, you can't do that on your home court for something not happen. You know, questions are going to be asked now. Is this Chris Paul's final? You know, is that it? Can he make another run? What do they do with Booker? What do they do? Do they grow? Do they get a new coach? Like, some awful times coming up in Phoenix.
Kings still celebrating, Brad?
Oh, well, I don't know about them, but I am. Oh, how good are these boys? Now, look, fantastic. They've had a few ceremonies on the during the week, and now they're looking towards next year. You put that in your back pocket, they're going to have a lot of trouble trying to keep players like a Jalen Adams. Ian Clark was phenomenal. But, you know, they're still celebrating. Come on, as if you wouldn't.
go, those Kings.
Hey, Brett, just before you go, just on like Jalen Adams and people like that, how long is it before you know that either they're, you know, get accepted over there in the NBA or they stay here and play for the Kings? So what's the process that they go through
good,
now?
Good question, Loz. And the hard thing with that is the NBA is still like a few, even a couple of months away before it's like, okay, we can offer you this contract. Because they're going to be fringe players. They're not the LeBron James.
Yeah.
You know, so the problem you've got there for the Sydney Kings is we really want you back. And he's going to say, well, I'm happy to come back, obviously, if the price is right. But I want an NBA out clause. And so there is times where you can sign them, but then if they get that NBA clause, then you could lose a player that's the next best. So it's a very, very difficult time, and obviously for the Kings, they're going to be doing everything they can. But for Jalen Adams and his agent, they're going to be like, mate, you're the MVP of this league. Sit back, relax, you'll always get a job. Let's see if we can get the NBA. So for Chris Pongrass and the team at the Kings, who's got to make tough decisions, it's not going to be easy. And Ian Clark's another one like that. These guys are on the verge. They're good enough to play there.
Thanks so much, Brad. Have a great weekend.
Doesn't matter that it's the off-season. Go those Kings.
New to Darley in 2022, Palace Pier. A five-time Group 1 winner by Kingman, unbeaten at two. He trained on at three, winning the Group 1 St. James's Palace Stakes. Like dominant sires, Frankel and Shamadal. A $1.15 million yearling from the great Invincible Spirit line and out of a $4 million broodmare. He's everything a thoroughbred should be, with the pedigree, the performance, and the physical of a true champion. Palace Pier, new in 2022. Darley. Rightio, go on. Well, here you go. Have
just,
your moment.
Well, I've just done a bit more investigation, a bit more of a bit of work on the photo that we saw of you when you did that interview, Middo. So you've got
it an interview?
Well, what do you call it?
Yeah, it was definitely an interview.
It's a vox pop.
Vox pop, there you go.
Call it chasing publicity, we'll call it.
So you were wearing a...
Chasing fame, chasing TV time.
That's
what we'll call it.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
But it was a blue sort of Shearer's single. Like
it was a trucker. It was the Bond's trucker single. Yeah, everyone's got one.
What are you doing
hot day
out on the running streets near the Opera House?
Well, it was obviously a hot day.
Right, but why wouldn't you have a...
I went for a jog.
Yeah, but what are you doing with a Bond's... blue singlet on. What are you training
that? That brings out the country and it makes him feel like he's still back in orange.
Well, you know, it was a hot day and I wanted to
be comfortable. Did you have your stubbies on as well? Your stubby
shorts? Coming from
barefoot? Did you have shoes on or barefoot?
Always
just
shoes.
A question. Okay.
Always shoes.
Okay. Yeah, blue trucker. I'm not sure I'm a blue trucker. I didn't think
Middo
would be
a blue
trucker.
Who will wear a singlet at the first chance?
Yes. Son.
I'm surprised he didn't rock up here this morning in one.
Possibility.
Yeah, it's a fair
possibility. Just to get the guns out.
But was that just to show that you're from the bush and you wanted to be stopped, or what?
Was that your prep? Well, like you know, you're going to do an interview. So normally people go get hair and makeup. Yeah. So you went hair, makeup, blue trucker.
I'll tell you exactly how it would have played out. Middo would have done the circling around, thinking,
looking for it,
waiting for her to sort of come up to me and go, excuse me, can you do
an
interview?
Knew they were going to be there.
So
at
he would have done the push-ups. He would have done the press-ups.
Yeah, okay.
Got the arms sort of a bit toned. And then walk past and probably accidentally bump into it.
Had a bit of creatine first. And
good interview anyway. I think in that photo you look fit, you look good, you spoke very well.
And you had product in your hair too, so well done.
Hair and makeup.
Ali Mosley, save me. Good morning to you.
I just listened to you cop it for about 2 minutes straight there.
Thanks. Don't worry, he deserves it, Ali.
But Ali, who goes for a run with product in their hair? Seriously.
And makeup.
Yeah.
Look, I've got to say, I've probably got to agree with you boys there. Not that I want to continue the bashing Middo this morning, but a bit of a questionable decision, maybe.
Don't believe these two. Anyway, we've got a big weekend of racing there. We're returning to Rhodes Hill, Ali, so the track should be nice and fresh.
Yeah, we've had, well, if I'm looking out my window and they're getting as much rain as I'm getting here in Randwick, I would imagine that it'll be fresh and heavy. So it's a heavy eight at the moment. They're actually out there this morning for trials as well. So a tricky meeting. Once you get sort of past the main carnival, it starts to get tricky, which maybe is a good thing, though, because it means we can possibly find a bit of value. So I'm hoping that I might have found a little bit on the 10-race program at Rose Hill for you guys.
Is there something that you've marked in the black book that's running tomorrow?
Yeah, there's a few. So a bit of a sentimental bet kicking off, actually, in race one. So Lubatini, who was my absolute favourite horse in the world, who passed away not too long ago, her full little brother, Hawaii 5-0, actually stepped out for the first time in the two-year-old race, which is a really strong two-year-old race. And there's another horse in it that I like who I think is going to be hard to beat in O Tycoon, who I've been watching for quite a while. So a colt by Written Tycoon out of a reduced choice mare for Bjorn Baker, with Rach King aboard, has won all three of his trials so far. A child on a heavy eight last time out at Hawkesbury and was a pretty dominant winner there as well. But it's Hawaii 5-0 who I've got to watch on, and he's a big boy. So Libertini's full brother. Libertini was a big girl, and given that he's a colt, he's just got so much substance about him. But I love his action. I've watched him in all his trials. I've actually seen him the whole way through. So I've seen him as a landling and a yearling and now here. And I hear the word from Tommy is that he can really gallop. So big ticket there, and at 750 on debut. I know it's going to be really hard for him, but at 750 at the value, it's a big field. So we should get all three divvies. I just think he might be one to watch there in the first. Bit of a sentimental bet for me as well. So I hope he can come out and emulate his sister.
Okay, race one, number six, $8 as it stands. In fact, fixed odds with Tab, Hawaii 5-0. What about your best bet on the program, Ali?
Gee, I found this hard. So there's a, looking ahead then, so we'll jump to race eight, and there's a couple that I like here at the value. So I've just, I think, like I said, it's good with these meetings because you can probably find a little bit more value. So two, and the first of those is Maria Mia for Joe Pride with Sam Clipperton aboard, who is riding in red-hot form. So he'll be riding back in Sydney this weekend. Was on the worst part of the ground last start behind Animat, and then three starts back close to probably Bill and Flying Mascot. I think probably hard to beat if she can cross and get across the speed early. So at the value, she's another one. And in that same race, I think Latino Blend way down, I think about $18 at the moment. If they all overdo it, can swamp them late. So just at that value as well. Just thought I'd sort of look outside of it and see what we could get there, looking both in race eight. So that's at Eagle Farm. And then I just found this little smoky at Toowoomba, and I'm not entirely sure because I find him really hard to catch, if I'm being completely honest. And it's not Zaki at $1.50, albeit I'm with him this week, finally, in the Doomben Cup. It's Irish Tongs. For Kurt Goldman in Doomben Race 2. I just think seems silly money at that $31 quote at the moment. Karen McAvoy aboard has gone well in heavy ground. I think he's racing well, and I just think the value for sure there up at Doomben in Race 2.
Okay, Irish Songs, Kurt Goldman, Race 2, $31. $7 the place.
I could be mad there, but I'm just if I'm finally going to catch him, I'd like it to be now.
Yeah, coming out of the Town Plate, of course, there in the race with Front Page. But, Ali, you have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. I hope they're not too mean to you for the rest of the morning.
Don't feel sorry Don't for feel him, sorry Ali. For him, Gibbs as good as he gets. Don't worry about that.
I'm sure.
He's playing Mr. Nice Guy at the moment. Feel sorry for me.
It's a disgrace, this treatment, Ali. Thank you so much. Have a good one. It's 7 o'clock coming up. We are at St Michael's Golf Club, and just starting to clear here now. It's the New South Wales Trainers Association Charity Golf Day.
Just starting to clear. Well, it's pouring.
What part of the sky is clearing?
Yeah.
Well, that part there.
That's undercover.
Look at that.